I tell you what, we had our worship leader, Miss Jamie, and our Hispanic worship leader, Miss Anna, over to our home last night with Pastor Carol and I and Miss Fanny and Miss Ruth Ann, and we were simply scoping out what we're going to be doing this year as it pertains to praise and worship during our service. Amen? And I am so glad that my good talking to went so well. And they got it together finally. They got it together every week. Amen, church? I come this morning saying grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. If you have your Bibles with you, whether in printed or digital format, hold your Bibles up in the air, please. Whether it's in a digital Bible or a printed Bible, it makes no difference. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so good to see. If you need a Bible, flag down one of our ushers, Pastor Divine there. If you would take today's, take your Bibles, please, and turn in the Word of God to Mark chapter 8. And we'll be in verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. Today's message is called Priceless. Priceless. You know, we finished up the year last week with a message titled Child of God. And the reason for having that message last week was simply to remind all of us of who we are. And this Sunday is a preparation message as we begin our new series this year from the book of Acts called Radically on Mission. But today's message is just a reminder of how priceless you are. How valuable you are to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget exactly how priceless, how wonderful the Lord has made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the Psalm 139 says. And I would like to tell you today that each and every single one of you is priceless. Amen. Absolutely priceless. You have a soul that is of infinite worth. Infinitely valuable. In fact, your soul is worth more than all of the treasures of this world and any other world put together. That's how valuable you are. You may not realize that your soul, made in the image of God, is eternal. You have an eternal soul. Eternal. You have not existed from eternity, but your soul will exist forever. And it will never, ever cease to exist. Your soul could no more cease to exist than God Himself could cease to exist. As God lives throughout all of eternity, so your soul will as well. Your soul will go on and on through eternity, timeless, dateless, measureless, of infinite, priceless value. And your soul, created in the image of God, will exist forever, either with God in heaven or separated from God in the lake of fire. And so if you are sitting here in the sanctuary this morning, and you are visiting Living Hope Church for the first time, or you're watching on the internet in our broadcast ministry, we want you to know that we're not here to trick you whatsoever. We're not here to use some underhanded movement of words, some great oratory. We're going to tell you just how it is, that we want you in heaven with us. Amen. And there's only one way to do that, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a Living Hope Baptist Church is a church where we preach the Word of God. Amen? Amen? We ask every single person to have their Bibles open and in their lap. In fact, we admonish folks that if you go to a church and they do not pull out their Bible, that you are to find another church. That you're not there just to hear the words of man. Amen? Amen. You're not here to hear the words of Brister. You are here to hear the words of the Word of God. We are here for the some purpose of thus saith the Lord. And I realize that the topic of heaven is a great topic. Amen? Everybody wants to go to heaven. I find it unusual. It's not unusual, but you know, what's the old saying? Everyone wants to go to heaven. They just don't want to go today. Or some people say, you know, how would you like to go? Well, none of us want it to hurt. Amen? But if the Lord decides that's how He wants us to go, then so be it. You know, I've said many times that I'd like to go peacefully in my sleep. Like my uncle did. Not yelling and screaming like everyone else in the car. Think about it. You'll get it in just a second. But friends, both exist. The heaven exists and the lake of fire exist. And we teach at Living Hope Church those truths of the Word of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 4 says, "Let the Word of God be true." Amen? "And every man a liar." And as we study God's Word today, I want you to firmly understand. Please keep this as a central theme of the priceless message today. Your soul will never, ever cease to exist. If you have the Word of God ready and you're at Mark chapter 8 verse 34, please say, Amen. Reading from the Word of God. "When He had called the people to Himself, with His disciples also, He said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?'" Moving on to the next slide. "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me," pay close attention to that, "for whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." I don't know about you, but I look for that day, amen, when the Lord Jesus comes back with his heavenly host. And what a glorious day that will be. I have 2 points that I want you to see today, but I don't want you to get too excited. Pastor only has 2 points today. I have several sub-points on each one. But thank you so much, praise team, for the ability of us getting started on time here this morning. And I got a couple extra minutes to preach. Well, I like that. I just like that. So I have 2 points that I want you to see today. And our first point today is that you have tremendous worth. I want you to see the tremendous worth of a soul. I want you to see today the tremendous worth of a soul. Any soul. We all know those folks that we want to see saved, amen? But there are many out there that we wonder, how could the Lord possibly want to save that person? "There but for the grace of God go I," amen? You see, guys, the question is not how valuable a soul is, but more than that, what is it that makes your soul... What is it that makes anything valuable to start with? Well, I have 5 sub-points. These are just things you can jot under your notes there. But there's 5 sub-points of things that cause something to be of tremendous worth. For example, if something is formed with incredible creativity makes it valuable. How many, we have any artists in here? No artist.
He's not here.
Pastor Ivan's somewhere else today, right? All right, that's our artist. How about our musicians and our praise team? See, those are the artsy people. Those are those people that have that left brain hip check going on. You know, sometimes Miss Jamie says, you know, getting the praise team and the musicians in line is like herding cats. But then they get up here, and I just want to share this, what a tremendous job they do, because I joke about this all the time. But let me just share something with you guys. There's another church that meets before us. And our praise team gets in here at 11 o'clock, hopefully. Service starts at 11:35. And in 35 minutes, they get everything set up. They get all of their sound checks. I get my mic check. They rehearse anything that they need to get cleaned up. They go find out which microphone broke this week or which amplifier broke this week, and they fix it. And at 11:35, we start. Amen?
Amen.
And that is, give our praise team a round of applause here, guys. And our tech guys back there and Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis, you know, he does our lighting and he gets the lighting, and I want you to know he's doing a great job. I told him the light was perfect last week. I looked much thinner. But I don't like you guys laughing like that now. But something being creatively made makes it valuable. Example, a painting by Michelangelo has incredible value because of his creativity. If you look on the screen at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Look at this for just a second. Because you have tremendous worth and tremendous value at all because you were created creatively. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became, what? A living being. Now don't gloss over this. I've said this many times in our services. I've mentioned this many, many times. But don't gloss over that. I want you to imagine that God bends down and grabs the dust of the earth and he forms man. How old was Adam when he was born? Well, he was created mature. He was created mature, amen? Yes. And so what age was he? He was at least able to take care of himself. He was created maturely. And God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and God bent down and breathed life into his nostrils. And his life came into the soul and the spirit of Adam. He opened his eyes, and the first thing he ever saw was the face of God. Isn't that good? Are you looking forward to that someday? Looking into the face of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God Almighty did that. We are creatively made. He formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into us his spirit. But God says something about us that he doesn't say about anything else. You see, when we look at the creation story, we see as it is done by God in Genesis 1, we see a whole bunch of let there be's. Matter of fact, turn over in your Bibles right now to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, it's real easy, it's the first page in your Bible where the actual Bible starts. And if you're there right now, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, now listen now. We all know verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but look at what it says here. Look at verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Essentially, we all know that from our creation series that I preached a while back, that light did not exist anywhere. Essentially, what God said was, light in me be. And the Shekinah glory of God burst forth and filled the creation. So God said, let there be light, and there was life. Verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. All this time he's saying, let there be. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, and so forth. Verse 14, then God said, let there be the lights in the firmament of the heavens. Skip down, verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound in abundance of living creatures. In other words, let there be. Verse 24, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures. And now, watch this. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. See, you are not just a let it be. You are not just a let there be. You are created in the image of our Heavenly Father. Listen, guys, God painted the sunset. God arched the rainbow in the skies. Amen. God sculpted and designed the wings of a butterfly. And all of these things are wonderful. But the one that created your soul said, let us create man in our image. Think about it. In his image. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are his workmanship. His workmanship. Matter of fact, look at the person next to you right now or behind you, your left or right. Look over at them and say, you know, you are a piece of work. No, don't say that. You guys are about to do it. Say, hey, you are God's workmanship. Hallelujah. Amen. Right now, Miss Alice, my mother and my brother watching on the internet, they just got a good chuckle out of that. Listen, when it says that we are his workmanship, what that literally means, what that word literally means, the literal translation is, we are his masterpiece. Amen. You are a masterpiece designed by the Lord. Now listen, you are handcrafted by the Lord. Now every one of us says, Lord, really? These ears I have that hang out there? You know, in my earlier days, I used to just let my hair grow and hope it'd cover up. Now I just let it go. I don't care anymore. But we all have those things that, in the way that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, amen, that we wish was a little different. All right? For instance, the things that I wish were different were obviously the ears I have. Now everybody's going to fixate on that. But also, here's what I wish. I wish I didn't have to diet 3 months to lose 3 pounds and eat 4 cookies to gain 10. That's what I wish. And all God's ladies said, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen, I don't know any better way to say this, my friends. You are literally the masterpiece of the Almighty. Amen. And if what Michelangelo created is valuable, just imagine how much more valuable you are as you were created by God and not by man. Creativity makes something value. But it's not just creativity to make the thing valuable, because potentiality makes something valuable as well. The potential that is in it. In other words, value not only for what it is now, but valuable in what it can become. Do you realize the incredible potential that is possible in you because you were created in His image? Did you get that? Say amen. Amen. The potential in you, friends, is limitless. There are no limits to your potential. The incredible potential in His image. Children of God, you are capable of amazing, incredible things if you just live up to your potential. Young people, boys, girls, when your mom and dad say, listen, you have potential, I want you to realize, Ronell, Stephen, Stephen, children, I want you to realize, are you ready for this? You have God's potential that He's placed in you. Amen. That's how valuable you are. That's the potential that is within you. And listen now, theologically speaking, there are three people sitting right here today in your seat. Now look at your seat, you know, the seat that you're in. There's three people sitting there right now. I know me, after Christmas, I feel like there's three people inside my clothes. There's a person that you are at this very moment. Amen? Amen. There's a person that you could be if you lived for evil. But there's the incredible potential of the person you could be if you lived for Jesus Christ. Amen. And you want to live for Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Yay, give God praise in His house. Listen, friends, people forget about the potential of others. That sometimes we just don't see it. Did you know that Michelangelo, even though he painted the Sistine Chapel, was first and foremost actually a sculptor? He wasn't a painter, he was a sculptor. And the story goes that one day he looked at a giant block of granite and he said, you know what, there's an angel inside of there and I'm going to set him free. Because he saw the potential of that block of granite. That lump of coal, as it were. You know, there was a time in our past when Miss Ruth Ann said, you know, I think that lump of coal there's got potential. I think I'll marry him. And all God's ladies said, hey, this is not where you're elbowing your husband in the rib there, ladies. Listen, Michelangelo saw the potential, the potentiality. Now listen, that's what God sees in you. That there's enormous potential in you. Now pay close attention to me. Are you ready for this? I want you to listen closely. You cannot dare to dream of what you could be. You can't even dare to dream that. Of what you could be because of the potential that is inside you. You see, if you simply give your heart to Jesus, if you live for God, you want me to give you an example? Say amen. Amen. Let me give you an example of what you will be. What you could be. The potential in you. Is there anybody here today that has a loved one in heaven right now? Say amen. Raise your hands. Amen. What's their name? What? Shout out their name. Shout out their name. Shout out their name over here. All over the sanctuary. Just say that name right now all at once. Hallelujah. Now, let's say you have the ability to go to heaven right now. just for a quick visit, and you're up there walking around, and all of a sudden you see this beautiful, brilliant, incredible, glorious, awesome, magnificent being walking towards you. Trust me, you'd be blown away. You might say, oh my goodness, are you Jesus? No, I'm not Jesus. Well, then you must be an angel. No, I'm not an angel. You mean you're a human like me? Well, yes, I'm a human like you. Peter? No. Paul? No. James? No. Moses? No. Well, who are you? And they look at you. And they say, don't you recognize me? I'm Margaret. I'm Melda. I'm Jim. I'm Ronell. Friends, you will be just like that someday. That is what is coming for the redeemed of Christ. That is the potential that is in you. Turn over now. You may ask, well, how do I do that? How does that happen? Are you sure? Pastor Larry, as a matter of fact, you said, don't trust you. Make sure we see that in the scripture. Turn over to the book of Philippians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament, about halfway through. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Oh, I love to hear those pages turning or those fingers tapping on their Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Here we go. You ready? For our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to what? His glorious body. Just like Jesus, according to the working by which He is able. Say it right now. God is able. Say it one more time. God is able. He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. This body that you have is not your permanent habitation. It is not your permanent habitation. Are you with me? Amen?
Amen.
So what makes something valuable? Creativity. Potentiality. And now we come to durability. Durability. In other words, how long will this thing last? Okay, if you go to the dollar store, how long does it last? Hopefully to the car. Maybe to the car. All right. But Miss Ruth Ann and I, we have a dining set, a table that we inherited from her parents. And that thing is over 50 years old. We sat at that when we were dating. No, it wasn't under kerosene lights, children. But we sat there. How long will it last? Creativity, potentiality, durability. Friends, the body that we have right now will die. Okay, children, look up here. I don't want to get you all worried. But one day, Pastor Larry will go to be with the Lord. And you will hear somebody say, Pastor Larry died. Don't you believe it for a second. I'm not dead. I'm walking the streets of glory.
Amen.
My family hasn't lost anybody. They know exactly where I am. I'm with my Heavenly Father. Amen. And I'm walking and I've been transformed as we read in the book of Philippians. But how long will that body last? Well, if you look on the screen, we'll see 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 and 43. So look at this. This talks about our heavenly body. So also is a resurrection from the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what?
Glory.
You will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and is raised in what?
Power.
The power. The durable power. But listen, friends, that is only a part of the story. Because for those of us that have accepted and received Jesus Christ as Lord, that's the body that we get. But for those that have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, let me just ask you a question right now. We know that in the end times, for those that have not received Jesus Christ as Lord, they are consigned to the lake of fire. Amen? Yeah, see, it gets quiet in here when we head this direction. Amen? Let me ask you something. If you threw this body into a lake of fire, of molten lava, what would happen to it? It would burn up. It would be ashes. Amen? Well, see, that's not what happens to someone that goes to the lake of fire. In 2 Thessalonians Chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, you can write those verses down if you would. It says, reading this, it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In other words, we go to be with the Lord. In flaming fire, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark this passage down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. It doesn't say destroyed. It doesn't say consumed. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The person that is consigned to the lake of fire is not consumed. They're not blown away. For us that go to heaven, we get a body designed to live on in glory. Amen? We get a body that's able to go into the presence of the glory of the Lord. What did God tell Moses? No man can see my glory and live. No man can see it. But we'll be able to see it in heaven. We'll have a body designed to withstand that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 says, those that are consigned to the lake of fire get a body designed for that. Let's get back to the priceless stuff. How about that?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so went right off my notes, by the way. So listen, friends. Modern society doesn't want us to use that word. They don't want us to talk about the lake of fire. They don't want us to mention the word hell. They say it's not politically correct. There are actually some people in churches these days that wish it was never mentioned. In other words, pastor, don't scare people by saying that. But let me ask you a question. For our Bible folks here, for our friends that read their Bibles every day, of all the people that ever lived on the planet Earth, who was the most loving person that's ever lived here? His name is what?
Jesus.
Say it one more time.
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. Now let me ask you another question. With that in mind, the love of Christ, who was it that preached more about the lake of fire? Who was it to preach more about hell than any other preacher ever in the Bible? Same person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Living Hope Church, a preacher is not cruel because he preaches about hell. Any more than a doctor who is cruel because he warns you about cancer. If you keep doing that, you will get sick. If you keep doing that, you'll be separated from all the good things. You will get cancer. Friends, the truth, after all, is the truth. Amen?
Amen?
Teaching the Word of God in a factual, loving, and truthful way is not cruel or mean. In fact, it's the most loving thing I could possibly do. Look around the sanctuary right now. Look at this lovely group of people here this morning. Some of you guys look good. We want you in heaven. We want you with the glorified body. Created to be with God forever and forever. Amen?
Amen?
The cruelest thing that I could ever do is to not warn people about what is coming if they don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive Christ. Why Christ? John chapter 14 verse 6 reads how? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, so we saw creativity, potentiality, durability, and now rarity. Rarity makes something valuable. Rare things are simply more valuable. Gold is more valuable than dirt. Diamonds are more valuable than coal. Why? Because they're beautiful and they're rare. We are valuable. Come up here, buddy. Come on, both of you. These boys have infinite worth.
Amen.
They are the rarest of the rare. God created just one of each of them.
Amen.
There is none other like them.
Amen.
God loved them so much that He made this young man just like Him. He made this one just like Him. They are exceedingly rare. They are exceedingly valuable. If I took out my wallet and said, here, I'll give you everything I have, and my debit cards and everything, for these boys, I'm sure I would be turned down. And I didn't say for 2 hours. I mean, give them to me. Take a seat, boys. Give these boys a hand. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, they are exceedingly rare. They are valuable. There's no duplicates. God, there's only one them. There's only one you. God does not make any duplicates. You are the handiwork. You are the workmanship. You are the craftsmanship of the perfect plan of Almighty God. He made you specifically and individually and wonderful. You are you ready for this? If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's how much God loves you. You are God's "How Do I Love Thee" poem. You are His perfectly sculpted masterpiece. You are the rarest of the rare. Unique. There is simply no other soul just like you.
Amen.
Young people, you have infinite value to God. And don't you ever let anybody say anything different. If somebody tells you what is the most valuable thing that God ever made, you can look them right in the eye and say, me.
Amen.
I am the most valuable thing that God ever made. In all of creation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But listen, let me wrap up this first point and let me tell you what makes you really valuable. It's because you are desirable. You're desirable. I've told this story many times, but when I was a young man, 16 years old, working in a store as a stock boy and a bagging groceries, a lady there asked me if I wanted a date. I looked at her and said, no. She goes, no, not with me, with my sister-in-law. And she said, don't get me wrong, she's a pretty lady. She's just a lot older than me. And she says, here's the picture of her. And I go, oh, yeah, I'll go out on a blind date with her. Well, Miss Ruth Ann isn't crazy, because she was going to see me before she went on this blind date. And so one day, I'm bagging groceries. And Jennifer comes over and she goes, that's Ruth Ann. And I looked up at the front. You know how the stores have all the glass windows there? Miss Ruth Ann was standing there in this yellow summer outfit thing. Her hair done. This pure look on her face. The sun was shining. The birds were singing. My heart leapt out of my chest. I said, oh, that's desirable right there. It took me a couple of years to convince her, amen. But something is valuable because it is desirable. Let me share something with you every single real estate person understands. If you want to know what your house is worth, don't tell me how much you paid for it. Don't tell me that you recently had it painted. Don't tell me about the bathrooms or the roof or the pool or anything else. Your house is only worth what someone will pay for it. That's what your house is worth. The maximum amount of money that someone will give with it. Because the real valuable is based upon how desirable your home is, how desirable something is to someone else. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the real point. Back to you. You are valuable to God because of what God paid for you.
Amen.
At the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That's why you are valuable. If you could have been at Golgotha that terrible day, as the Lord Jesus Christ hung naked on the cross and put your head to His chest, with every beat of the Lord Jesus Christ's dying heart, He said, I love you, I love you, I want you, I desire you. And I gladly lay down my life for you. No one takes my life from me. I go to the cross for the joy set before me, because someday I want you in my heaven if you only receive me. You are valuable. You are precious in my sight. That's how priceless you are. Because of the price paid for you. You are desirable to the Lord. So not only do we have a tremendous worth of a soul, now we're going to wrap this up quickly. Now we see the tremendous gift of salvation. The tremendous gift of salvation. I don't know what you got for Christmas. Maybe you got a bunch of stuff. Maybe you didn't get a bunch of stuff. Our Christmases generally are myself and Miss Ruth Ann sending stuff to our grandchildren and children. And now great-grandchildren. Don't do the math. I don't know what you got for Christmas, but whatever it costs, it's not as priceless as the salvation that Jesus Christ has paid for.
Amen.
You see, God has provided a way into heaven. So how can you be saved? Look back in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It said, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Listen, what he's talking about there, is Jesus is talking about your conviction. This is a sub-point on point number two. He's talking about your conviction. What conviction do you have of your salvation? Meaning this, say this simply, Christ, I am yours, not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah. Look at verse 35 now. Verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. You lose your life. In other words, you give up yourself and you will find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, conviction is one thing, but there must be a conversion as well. Amen. See, verse 34 said, take up his cross and what? Follow me. What does that mean? It means that you die to your old way of living. You believe that Christ died for your sins. You say and mean with all of your heart, Lord Jesus Christ, your blood is my atonement. You died for me. I receive you. Conviction, conversion, and now we come to confession. Look at verse 38. Look what Jesus himself said about confessing him. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, to him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You must publicly profess that you are the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, we'll have this on the screen. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said these words, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, whatever happens, Jesus is going to say, Shirley's with me. Ruthann's with me. Khalil is with me. He will profess you before our Heavenly Father. Amen?
Amen?
Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you love to be when you hear that? The Lord Jesus says, Doreen, you're with me. That's my girl right there. By the way, he's looking down right down and going, oh, look back there, GB. Don't turn around and look at GB. He's awake now. No, I'm just kidding, brother. Listen, friends, you're probably thinking right now, this preacher, I knew it was coming, this preacher is about to have an invitation. He wants me to walk forward if I've never done that before. Well, I am, and I will. But walking down the aisle is not what saves you. You're not saved by walking down the aisle. You're not saved by just saying some words. It's good. It's a public profession. But you are saved only through trusting Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your Lord. But listen, friends, if you are saved, you will not be ashamed of Him. You will not be ashamed to publicly profess Him. Listen to me, guys. You're not going to slip into heaven as a secret agent disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus publicly hung naked on Calvary's cross for you. And listen to what He's saying to you today. Look at the screen. And on the screen we have Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If you gain everything on this planet but lose your soul, he's saying if you can be the richest person on earth, it means what? Nothing. This world will fade away. Now, how do I close this out? Listen to me, young people, mature people, everybody else in the middle. You are valuable. You are priceless. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, I want you to know something. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you're visiting, or if you've been coming here and you've never actually received Jesus Christ, or you're watching on the internet and you've never received Jesus Christ, you may think that you are here today just to keep peace in your house. You may think that you're here today to keep your friends happy. Or to keep your mother happy, you showed up for church today. But that is not why you are here, in this little old sanctuary on the second floor with the difficult places to park downstairs and the prayer all the way up elevator. That is not why you are here today. There are no coincidences with God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, God brought you here today for one reason and one reason only. To be saved.
Amen.
That is why you are here. And He will absolutely do it if you will receive Christ as Lord. Why? Because you are priceless.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Every head bowed. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.